Jazzy 88 Artist of the Week, D. Brown, all the way from the great state of Michigan, up there with all that music and everything. D, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. How about you?
Well, I'm just excited to talk to you, I can tell you that.
Thanks for inviting me to the show.
Absolutely. Now, D, this is your first time being on our spotlight list here. WFSK's Artist of the Week is our weekly feature where we spend some time on music, new releases, and in some cases, such as yourself, there's a category that I refer to as emerging talent. And some people in your area and maybe different parts of the country know you, but some others do not. So this is our opportunity to put the light on you. We're using the 1,000-watt bulb today, D. We put the light on you in Nashville so that folks can become familiar with you and begin to, of course, support your music, etc. And our Artist of the Week is a longtime feature here at WFSK. For more than 500 interviews and features have been done. So it was about time we made it to you, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Well,
absolutely.
I work closely with your label and your promoter, and he had mentioned you to me some time back. And I said, well, let me, you know, I'm going to consider that, and then you're new, because he had mentioned you a long time ago. And I said, well, you know, I think this is time, because we were playing, I think you had a release a couple years ago, didn't you?
Okay. Brown Sugar, Honey Coated Love.
Yes. And we played that one, and then this Remembering You, your latest one, came out, and you know, it really has some infectious, get down funky music in it, and you've come out off of this project with two or three releases, so I felt it was time to give D. Brown some love. Hopefully your day is going well today.
Oh yeah, it's going fantastic. It's kind of relaxing. It snowed in today, so not much to do outside. Yeah, it's about 22 degrees, and we have about, I'd say, maybe 3 or 4 inches outside.
Oh wow, you Detroit, right?
So it's Detroit.
Well, then I know it's cold up there.
Motown.
Yeah, ain't no sense in wondering about that. I know it's cold. But you know, the folks put this project on, they'll warm up real quick. Your initial Hey Baby song was the one that you rolled out first off of the Remembering You project. Now, Dee, I'm going to go ahead and dig on into some background and find out more about you, because what I talked to your label and promoter, he had mentioned that there is a story, a serious one for you, behind this album, Remembering You. So let's start there and then work our way back, okay?
Okay, all right. Well, the title, of course, is Remembering You. And the reason it's called that is because a couple years back, I was actually engaged to be married to a young lady named Shania Edwards. She was a co-writer and actually part of the band, and she was really prepared to become a solo jazz kind of artist. Mm. But she was already an artist. She was already a singer, and she was a songwriter, and she had a group called Special Gift. Now, here in Detroit, we have a lot of gospel music. So she was in a gospel group called Perfect Gift, which was produced by Marvin Winans of the Winans and Donnie McClurkin. So her lead singer of their group, she fell ill, and she ended up transitioning to heaven. So she decided she wanted to do some jazz. And that's when I met her. And my biggest question, could you write, could you sing? And, of course, she answered all those questions. Mm-hmm. So the very first tune that we did was on Brown Sugar, Honey Coated Love. It was called I'm Here For You, I'll Never Leave You. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's a very ironic title. Mm-hmm. But she wrote those lyrics, and she wrote that song. So the CD, Remembering You, is a chronicle of our life together and the things that we did. Mm. So it's just in remembrance of her. You know, and as I was recording that project, I met another young lady, another angel, and we fell in love, and we got married August the 18th of 2018. Mm. So the story isn't completely sad. It's actually, you know, a really great ending to it. So as I was creating the project, she was there with me, and she helped me along as far as titles, as far as ideas on this. On the songs, as far as liking them or disliking them. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole story. Hey Baby, which was the first tune you guys played, mm-hmm. was the way she used to address me all the time. Hey Baby, let's do this. Hey Baby, hey Baby. So, and she would send me voicemails and texts, and that was just one of the actual voicemails that she sent. So she actually started that song.
Well, I
she was
knew
the one
that.
Who said, hey Baby,
yeah, good day. That is real. He got that from somewhere. Somebody. Oh, wow. Because it gets your attention. Yeah, it does what I think you had planned for it to do when you first hear it, you know. That, and that's from a phone conversation that message that she had left you.
Right. She would leave voicemails. You know, like you can leave voicemails on your phone and that kind of thing. And she would send, instead of texting, she would actually send her voice. And that was just one of them that she sent to me. So I figured, you know, that was the very first tune we had actually completed for the project, which is mm-hmm. called Remembering You. Mm-hmm. And I decided, well, let's put that on there because, you know, this is what the whole CD is representing. It's mm-hmm. representing us together and our time together. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was appropriate to put it on there.
Definitely. Now, you mm-hmm. have, there are 11 cuts on Remembering You, so you've got multiple storylines going on in this music that you you wrote all of it?
Well, what I like to do in creating music, I really like to collaborate and write with other writers. So I have a core group that I write with, and of course, there's other writers that I work with as well. So I don't usually write the whole song from start to finish. I usually get ideas from other, you know, writers and other musicians to give it a, you know, several different sides mm-hmm. instead of just seeing one side from me.
Mm-hmm. Now, in one of your cuts, I have pulled probably three of them to put in here at the station. One of them, definitely, is your work with our good friend Bob Baldwin. How long have you been knowing Bob, and how did y'all get together?
I think I've been knowing Bob for probably about 3 years. We happened to have the same publicist at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And she had mentioned, you know, Bob Baldwin, and did I know him? I said, no, but I love his work. He's an extraordinary musician.
Yes.
So he came into the Michigan area, and he was doing a concert, and he needed a guitarist. So he called me up, and we went up there, and we played at something called the River Raisin Jazz Festival
mm-hmm.
here in the Michigan area. And it usually holds about, you know, about 5,000 to 6,000 people. It's an outdoor concert
mm-hmm.
put on by Alexander Zanjic. And so we had a chance to perform together, and we had never performed live. He just sent me the song,
mm-hmm.
and we got up on stage and played. It was an awesome show.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, you know, we stayed in contact, and, you know, he did mention if you need me to do anything or any kind of writing or playing, just give me a call.
Mm-hmm.
So I called him up. We had an idea, sent him the idea, and we collaborated back and forth, along with a gentleman who produced it. His name is Valdez mm-hmm. Brantley. He's a Grammy Award-winning producer and songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
Should I say Grammy nominated,
mm-hmm.
excuse me. And he actually produced it for us, and Bob played most of the musical parts, and of course I played, you know, all the guitar parts. So
mm-hmm.
it's really, it's our new single. It's called I Will, and it's going to be released officially March 11th.
Well, we might be sliding it in there before then.
Well, that's good. I appreciate that.
Because now you said two names. You know, we carry Bob's Urban Jazz Lounge. Our station was
right.
one of the first, maybe the second station
right.
to carry him. So we go way back with Bob a long time. And Alexander Zanjic, oh, my God, you know, that's my man. You know, we carry his show, too.
Ah,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So you hang with our friends.
Yes, yes. He's an extraordinary
yes,
flautist, and
yes.
of course, He's a great personality, you know, on TV and on radio. And, of course, he has the biggest jazz shows around our town. So it's really good to hang out with someone who's doing some positive things. You know?
So you played, you were on Alexander's, he has what, a summer cruise or a festival? Or what does he do?
Well, he's like a promoter, and he promotes shows year-round. But during the summertime, he has the outdoor concerts. Because, you know, here in Michigan, it's too cold to have, you know, anything outdoors like around now. Mm-hmm. But when, you know, May, June come and throughout up to August and September, he has different outdoor events that are pretty big here. And he attracts, you know, from 2,000 to 15, 20,000 people.
Really?
You know, and they're really big events. Yeah, he brings on, you know, the high-end people like, you know, Norman Brown, George Benson, Kenny G, all the guys.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always good to hang with those kind of people, you know?
No question about it. or just to be seen somewhere close by. Alexander is just really he's invited me for years to come up there to the events and stuff that he has, and I'm going to do it one of these days. I'm going to show up on the scene, but he's got his A to Z show and his radio show, and we carry that as well. That's on Monday nights. Now, has he ever had you on it, or Bob ever had you on his show?
You know, Bob mentioned he was going to do some interviews, but I think he doesn't do a lot of interviews on his show.
No, he mentioned that he
might bring me on, but he hasn't done that. But I've done, you know, radio drops and liners for him, and of course we collaborate on that single.
Yeah, well, he does the music. Bob, you know, does, and Alexander, he slides in the little clips, you know, with the interviews and et cetera. But, you know, a lot of times Bob, you know, because he's playing from his own, I call it Bob's iPad or iPod.
Okay.
That's what I, you know, because he comes up with, I'm like, where you get that song from, Bob? It was something, you know, he recorded somewhere in Brazil or something. I'm like, you might slide that up here to us. But, you know, having that kind of relationship with the people is so important to me personally. Because these cats, you know, they're just deep. But now the ones that are written and co-written, talk about who's on the project with you, some of the artists and producers, etc.
Okay, my pleasure. Of course, the vocalist who did the intro to Hey Baby, of course, is Shania Edwards. I'm working with Bob Baldwin, of course, and we wrote the song and produced the song, I Will, which, of course, is a new single coming out March 11th. I also did a song with Althea Renee. She's the flautist from Detroit. We did a song called Our Summer. I really like that song. She jammed on that one. You know. Also, we got a very special drummer that's doing the sessions with us. His name is Ron Otis, and Ron Otis was a drummer and is a drummer for Earl Klugh. He's from Detroit here, and also Aretha Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Kim, the vocalist from Detroit. The vocalist, yeah, he's doing several songs with us. As a matter of fact, he is on I Will. And also, I'm working with a saxophonist by the name of Desi McCullers Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Desi McCullers Jr. is the son of Desi McCullers Sr., who was one of the original funk brothers that did all the horn arrangements for all those Motown hits.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what you probably didn't know, Desi is also the brother to Althea Renee.
Really?
So, yes, yes. He's a saxophonist who played on Hey Baby. He's an awesome fella. He's going to be coming out with something on his end probably in the next couple of years or so.
Okay.
He's going to come out with his own project, and maybe even sooner than that.
Yeah.
Also, I got Valdez Brantley, who, of course, is the Grammy-nominated producer and songwriter, and also Curran Bradley, which is his brother. He's playing bass on the very first tune entitled I Want You To. He's played with everybody from Grover Washington Jr. to Biggie Small to the Gap Band and Guy. He's just one of those sidemen who plays all around the world all the time. Yep, so, yeah, he's extraordinary. Let's see, am I missing anybody else on there? There's a group, I don't know if you ever heard of them, but they've been out for a long time. They were called the Dramatics.
Oh, of course. Ron Banks and the Dramatics. Oh, yeah. I got stories. Right. I got stories.
Yeah, so we got one of the singers, Wenzel Kelly, he came by and we did some vocals, and the one song he did vocals on was a song called Follow You, which was actually, the idea came up from Shania. She used to always sing it when I played those different chords. So we went ahead and finished it, and of course, like, again, that is, the whole CD is dedicated to, you know, our time together. I think that's everybody on there, I believe. Okay. Did I miss anybody? I think that's it.
So you did the bulk of the writing, though, right?
What's that?
You did the bulk of the writing.
Right. I usually come up with the ideas or the melodies or the bridge or, you know, the arrangements and all those sort of things. And from that point on, I collaborate with, you know, Val and, of course, Bob or whoever I'm writing the songs with. I think most of the songs were written by myself and Val Biz Bradley. Also, you know who I missed?
Who's that?
There is one other person I miss. His name is Nate Harrison.
Oh, nice.
Nate Harrison is a keyboardist, right?
Yes, I know him very well.
Yeah. We did a song called Beauty Within. That was the last cut I think you guys played.
Yeah, it was. Oh, so you were listening online, huh?
Yes, I was.
All right.
I was listening to you. See, I listened to you.
That's what's up.
Absolutely.
Yes, it is. Now, because we then went down the around the world, but Nate, he came to visit about a year or so ago. He was driving somewhere, and we spent the day together. We had a good time with him. And,
he's a crazy guy.
Oh, he's a mess. And we just had a wonderful time. We was just clowning, you know. And just up, you know. So, and, you know, Alexander, one of these days, you know, he says he's coming down here. And I said, I'm going up there. But, you know, look up and you might see you in the car with Nate and Alexander, D.
That's possible. That is possible.
Because you guys are up the road, but what, about 5 or 6 hours from Nashville, something like that?
It may be longer than that.
Oh, is
maybe
it?
10.
Oh, well, maybe I won't.
Maybe. Because I have driven down to Nashville. It seemed like it took like 14 hours, but maybe it was just driving slow.
Yeah, maybe so.
Maybe, yeah.
That seemed like a long trip. Now, let me ask this question because, you know, I do the metadata for the music, and I do the music at the station.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, your name, when you see it on the labels, is a lowercase D.
Right.
And I feel like when people see that readout, they're going to say the radio station didn't put his name out like I should have. And so I know that's how you wanted it to go out, with the lowercase D. And, you know, that looks cute on an album, but when you are trying to, you know, in the car, you got the readout in the car and on your desktop and all that, and the lowercase D looks like we made a mistake. So when y'all see that, I went ahead and put the upper case so that our audience won't say, I wish that radio station could spell. Because, you know, folks, they without even understanding or knowing, you know. So I will tell you, I hope you still get credit for it, though.
Well, of course. I mean, there are a few D Browns, but there's only one D Brown that did remember you.
Yeah. That's how you had to do it. So, now, D, you've been playing guitar for a long time. Was this your instrument of choice from being a young kid?
No, it wasn't. It kind of started. Let me just give you a really short version of how it actually started. Back in the very, very day when I started hearing music, the very first music I heard was jazz. So I heard a lot of instruments. Instrumentation, horns, saxophones, drums, bass, and those sort of things. And I was gravitating towards those sounds, and then I heard a very different sound. My father was a jazz enthusiast. He loved jazz, and he was a drummer, but he really couldn't pursue music because he had the children, he had the family he wanted to raise. So I asked him, what sound was that? That was a different sound I'd never heard. And he told me, son, that's a guitar. I said, that's the instrument I want to play. So I was probably about 2 years old, so time went by, and I started gravitating towards singing. So I became more of a vocalist. I worked on singing and singing. I was in a singing group that did recordings and those sort of things. And then my mother said, D. Brown, when you going to play guitar again? I said, yeah, okay, I guess I'll play again. And that's when I got into the smooth jazz, and I decided to do, you know, a collaboration of, you know, writing and singing and playing and really dive into the smooth jazz genre of music.
Now, how was that going over in a place like, you know, Detroit, where the music is so big, and there's a lot of, you know, music industry people and recording artists and stuff there? How was it as far as the smooth jazz is concerned in that city?
Well, you know, Motown was here like 45 years ago, so, you know, it's really not that big of a deal here. You know, and as far as music goes, there's not really a whole lot of venues to actually play, you know, as a I guess, amateur or up-and-coming artist. So being able to have a project out and being played on the radio gave us, you know, a little bit more juice to go ahead and do some things. So it really didn't do a whole lot, but I guess the thing you can look at is that it's just not a whole lot of outlets here in Detroit for an artist trying to come out and just, you know, shed his teeth.
Yeah. Well, so I guess it's important to have somebody like Alexander doing what he's doing there.
Absolutely. That would really, really help you out.
Yeah, definitely. Now, so would he be considered as like one of the go-to people there for, you know, does he have a studio and all that kind of stuff or what?
I don't know that he has a studio. That he has never revealed that to me. But there are many studios in the Michigan area, Detroit area, that you can definitely, you know, record your project. The main thing that you really need is someone who understands what you're doing, like a producer, and someone who knows how to work in a studio to give you the best sound and the best recording that you can make.
So what kind of challenges have you overcome in the music business? Because, you know, it's not like it used to be, as we all well know that. What have you learned, some lessons learned for you, Dee?
Well, I learned many, many lessons. I had a mentor growing up back in the day, and when I was growing up, there was a gentleman by the name of Eric McClinton. I don't know if you ever heard of him, but he was in a group called Eric and the Vikings, who were with Motown, and he had a hit when he was out. I think he was like about 18 years old. It was called Vibrations. So when I was coming up, you know, about 13 or 14 years old, he heard me playing guitar, and he came over and said, who's playing guitar? And my mom said it was me, so he took me in his basement, and he showed me some of the songs, and we listened to some songs he recorded, and he told me about recording. And he also told me about recording contracts, points, ASCAP, BMI, and all those things, and how all these things work together. He also took me to the studio, showed me how to prepare for a studio, showed me how to produce. So I had a lot of training from him. And every obstacle that you could actually come up with, he showed me how to get around all of that. So he's my mentor, and he's the one who kind of guided me through it. Now, as far as in the business itself, of course, the challenge of getting a record deal is pretty tough. You know, and then getting somebody to believe into you. There's other challenges, of course, like getting a really good promoter and a really good publicist and a good booking agent. And in some cases, I'm still, you know, looking for those components as well. And those are pretty difficult. As far as recording, since I've been recording for quite a while, and I know a lot of musicians, that challenge is not, you know, that difficult. I think at this point, we can always come up with a great project and a great product. Of course, the biggest challenge is to get it heard on the radio. And the push behind that and the finances behind that as well can be a difficult challenge as well. So some of those I have accomplished.
Well, and everything you named, you know, outside of airplay, because, you know, there's no charge on that. But everything you named, you know, there's a dollar figure attached to it, you know, in terms of having the people and getting their promotional, and because that's a business. And, you know, and those relationships are so important. And, you know, since our station here is WFSK is Smooth and Contemporary Jazz, you know, we've come a long way in terms of the respect of the industry. And it's been a blessing because it has brought us just so much in terms of choices. You know, we can make some extraordinary choices here that, you know, when I first got here in 2005, we couldn't make. And that's real. So, you know, the industry has changed, and I thank the Lord for the wonderful things that have come as a result of that. Because on our side, you know, the station's had history with jazz in and out, up and down, and off and on. But not in a 24/7, 365, we ain't going nowhere, ain't changing, ain't flip-flopping, and no. Nobody's coming in and changing the format to whatever. No. This is it.
Thank goodness. I love that.
I'm just saying.
You gotta keep doing what you're doing. I love what you're doing.
Yes, absolutely.
You keep going.
Well, this is Music City, and there was a declaration that had to come, and we are Nashville's jazz station, and then nothing nobody can do about that. So, you know, having that attitude, and I see that's probably for you as a musician, you probably had to have an attitude too, that you're going to do what you do. I mean, you know, that's to be respected and admired for you.
Absolutely. I mean, the blessings that you get and the drive that you get, it comes from the Lord, so that's my drive.
Absolutely.
He's going to make a way for me to do my thing for him.
So you play at the church too, I bet, right?
Well,
I mean, I'm just guessing because I figured that when I read your liner notes inside of your Remembering You project, and you did mention somebody here in the church.
Yeah.
Reverend, pastor, somebody. Now, you knew I knew. Yeah. You knew the Lord. Come on, son.
Yeah, that's... Yes, of course. Yeah. You know, in Detroit, there's many, many churches. And, you know, there's not a lot of, like I said, a lot of avenues for you as a jazz musician to really, you know, chew your teeth or, you know, shit, as they say. But the church is a great place to have a gig every Sunday.
Yes, Lord.
And somewhere through the week. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, they compensate you a bit, and you can continue doing your thing and moving on to doing some greater things. So that's one of the greatest gigs here. You know, I'm over there at First Baptist World Changers, Pastor Linnell D. Caldwell.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, World Changers, you may have heard of them. They're in Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
Creflo Dollar. So we're a sister church to World Changers in Atlanta.
Oh, bless the Lord. So is there any gospel jazz coming out of you?
Gospel, we'll see. My music is actually gospel jazz. But, you know, when you think about gospel jazz, the only person they think of is Ben Tinker.
Yes.
I mean, you got a few out there that's doing it, but, you know, it's the sort of thing where gospel people are so into words and lyrics that when you play an instrument, they really can't find themselves in there and understand what you're doing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of difficult to go in the jazz gospel kind of genre. So
Hold up. Let me say, Kurt Whalum can do a sanctified saxophone like nobody's business. Kurt Whalum of Nash of Tennessee, oh my God, that brother is he can take, you know, gospel according to jazz. He can, you know, I'm just saying, he can just put you in a Holy Ghost frenzy with that saxophone. I mean, he can straight up, you know, and I know that's not his area, but I'm just testifying.
Well, I don't disagree with you. I agree that he can do that.
Yes,
he is definitely an anointed musician.
Oh, yeah.
Where did he come from?
Well, you're right.
That's where his main shall I say, fans
yes,
are.
Yes.
They're in jazz. They know him from jazz.
Yes.
He's getting, of course, he has to do the gospel because he's from the church.
Amen.
So he has to do that because that's what's in him. That's
yes.
what's in us
yes.
to do it. But the people who we're doing it for, it takes a lot of priming to get them to even move towards that way.
It does.
Because they're in the lyrics. They're into words. What
right.
do your words mean?
You're
what
right.
is your intention and what you're doing? Even though you got a good title
right.
for the song,
yeah.
it's still, what are your words saying? And even if you don't have enough words, and you just have some background, that's not enough for them.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I will say that you're absolutely correct on that because, you know, there was a time when people wouldn't, in the church wouldn't accept it. And, you know, devils lie on that because, you know, everything that has breath, let's praise the Lord, with all of our means we can, every horn, every you know, right. you know, so let's just make joyful noises. and you know, I just didn't believe in all that. And I know that if, you know, Father's in control and he can use whatever he wants to, you know, get the utterance out, and then he uses it. And we have Gospel Jazz show on Sunday. So if you ever are so inclined, please feel free to send it down, and it'll go in Joy and Jazz, which airs from noon to 2 on Sunday afternoons.
Okay. That sounds good.
All right, so there you know.
Sounds great.
Now you know we're not scared. Okay. Oh my okay. God. Anyway,
that is cool.
Oh yes, definitely. Now, D, you have a schedule coming up. You're going to be out and about. You're leaving Detroit, going anywhere? What you doing?
You know, right now we're putting together you know, our plans for the summer coming up. But I do have the website dbrownmusic.com where everything is going to be posted there. That's DeeBrownMusic.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we just did a soul out show for Valentine's here at a new venue called Aretha's Jazz Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, Aretha Franklin, she's from Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And she made her transition to heaven last year.
Mm-hmm.
So she has a couple venues named after her, and this is one. This is part of Music Hall.
Mm-hmm.
So we did a sold out show there on Valentine's weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And we got some things coming up. So check the website. You know, on the website, you can also find our Twitter and Facebook,
mm-hmm.
Instagram, Reverb Nation. Everything starts right there.
Excellent.
At dbrownmusic.com. And please, like the stuff we post.
Absolutely. And follow his work. And Dee, lastly, you know, I see on your website, you clean like my man Nick Corleone in Chi-Town, man. You got your Nick hat on and your shirt all pressed up and everything. I'm like, okay, the Nick of Detroit.
yeah, you know what? It's kind of like a family thing. My
yeah.
sister's really into fashion.
Okay.
And if you notice on the CD, she always does my fashion. Of course,
okay.
she does the makeup and everything, too. So that's my sister's Toni Brown work. And if you don't like it, please consult her.
Well,
but I seem to like it when I put it on. So she has a really
yeah.
good eye for fashion.
Tell her she did just fine, okay?
I'll do that.
Okay. Because, you know, Nick Corleone is clean as the ridiculousness of clean every time you see him. And that's what a lot of people respect, you know, is that, you know, person that thinks enough of the audience, you know, not to be all grungy and everything. It looked nice, you know. We like to see our people look nice. Old school stuff.
Yeah, he definitely comes there to do the show, and he definitely looks the part. So he is the sharpest dressed gentleman. In smooth jazz.
I see you're trying to be second place. I see you. Yeah. tell sis she's working the magic, okay?
I will do that.
Okay. Dee, listen, I appreciate you so much, and thank you for your latest project and spending the time with you on the WFSK Artist of the Week, okay?
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'd like to thank Adam Leibowitz and InterVision Records as for all their support that they've given to the project. And thank you for having me on your show.
Absolutely. Have a good rest of the day, okay?
You too. Bye now.
Bye. That was Detroit's own Mr. D. Brown, guitarist, producer. And that's his first time in the spotlight. And we are happy to give him some love.